Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Blessed Father, we give you glory and honor. We thank you because we are sanctified, set apart for your glory. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because you transform us day by day. By beholding Jesus as we are transformed into his image. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for we grow in you and Christ is formed in us continually. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's been a very wonderful week. Amen. But we are moving very, very slowly. Now, here is the thing. It's been a very busy period for me. Very busy. I'm moving from one thing to another, to another, to another. So on Tuesday after Zoe, on Wednesday at 11, I was launching something in Hoima. And on Thursday, I was speaking to mass communication students at Makerere. Friday, I'm speaking to watchers. On Monday, I'll be speaking to pastors in Imbarara. Now, here is the problem with that. And here is what really worries me when I get busy like that. It's because you drain yourself. So I can't wait for December to come. So that I switch off my phone and what, and just go and be with the Lord. Because you can't give what you don't have. And our source is the Lord. Now you see, the devil can be a bit tricky, cunning, when he sees that something is being, like he can turn you away from that source and make you busy. And eventually you wear out. And the reason people wear out is because they have lost connection with the source. And you don't feel like the source. And then the first thing that happens when you don't feel the source is you lose the sense of the picture, of the big picture. Because it's only when you are with the source that you actually get the whole picture of what it is that God is doing. Now you see, the thing is, there are so many people, even among us here, who have never really gotten time to understand the full picture of what God wants to do in this generation. So, what they are interested in is what they want to do. And yet you cannot really know what you are going to do until you know what God is doing. If you are in his kingdom. Amen? Any more than you can, like a soldier can know what he's going to do unless he knows the plan for the battle. And the plan is given by, the commander-in-chief. So there is a lot of disconnect with people being interested. I used to watch interviews on TV, TBN way back from those years, the 1990s. And those, interestingly, the people who would be hosted that time, what they would ask them is, what is God saying? So you're hosting a man of God and say, what is God saying to you? What is God saying? And I found it interesting because each one you would see that all the people who were being hosted actually had a real connection to the source. So they will say, the Lord has been, communicating this and this to me and, doing ABC. Now, as the years went by, they start asking, what are you doing? So they say, we are planting churches in Texas, planting churches in Colorado, planting churches in what? And now, you see that there is a big shift away from what the Lord is saying, or what the Lord is doing, to what people are doing. And that shift, by the way, is just drifts and drifts. And now this is true for, there is nobody who is going to live in this end time dispensation and achieve what they are supposed to achieve when they do not have a sense of what is God saying, or what is God doing, or what is God, What are the command, the new command, individually and corporately? You know, there are corporate commands, then there are individual commands which the Spirit of God gives you. And if somebody like gets carried away with being busy and being that, and you know, it comes at a time when there is a bit of success and things seem to be working out, then you notice that the success comes, then you get busy, then it vanishes, and somehow you've lost. Then you start pursuing it rather than pursuing God. These are things which happen all the time. I'll give you an example for some of you here. Now, I was talking to somebody today who was telling me that he, when I spoke about the multiplying of money after it had been, you know, spoken about by, you know, prophet, then he went and tried it. Then it works. Then you get excited. Then it stops. Because you stopped trying to make it work. You understand? Now, when you start meditating on it, on abundance. And now the reason I'm saying this over and over again is, I'll tell you this. Yesterday, we're having a conversation with the prophet. And one of us asked him that, how far have we moved in the, you know, the harvest is truly great. How far have we fared in the course of the year now that we're in November? And his answer was shocking. He said 2%. 2%, and that's the truth, because I could sense it even at the beginning of September. I was sensing it, but the harvest, how come we are not yet quite seeing the harvest? Now, here is the thing. For the most part, when people start, let's say, meditating on abundance and trying to push in a certain direction, and they really meditate about it, then it starts happening. Then when it happens at a certain level, then they stop. They stop it, and then it stops. And yet, actually, it's a lot easier to meditate on abundance when there is something you have. It's difficult to meditate on abundance when you're totally broke. You understand? But now when you've started seeing something, now that's when you're supposed to intensify until until you actually get a complete hold on it. And now you get to a level where now you can no longer go back the other side. And now you see people, because you don't understand this, and people fail to realize that. I'll give you an example. You see these people. Now, there's this guy, of course, he's from the kingdom of darkness in the UK, who, like, walks on water. So he went and walked on the River Thames, right there in the city of London. And so the whole, you know, so many people gather water, and it causes confusion. So the police go with their boats and tell him, sit in the boat, you're causing confusion in the city. And he does so many such other things. If you there's a program on your Discovery Channel where he does things like that, and just, you know, kusasamaza people, and stuff like that. So he pulls off, you know, spiritual things, just finding people, places, and doing things, and just exciting them. I used to watch his program some of the times, where he gets a football and turns it into a rugby ball. He just holds it and he takes on the shape of a rugby ball. Then he gives it, or he does things like that anyhow. So somebody is having a cup of coffee on a table, you know, on a glass or a wooden table. Then he gets another cup and puts it under, and the coffee drains from the other and goes in this one. It's the same temperature and everything, same, and this one gets empty and the other one gets full, but in between there is wood. Things like that. But you see, for somebody now, like, I'll give you an example. Those people, where they actually beat us is when he sets out to master something and make something happen, like, he will not set his hand off it until he has totally mastered it. So now you see, he jumps on the River Thames and walks, but it can have taken him 2 years of just meditating on walking on water for that to happen. But a believer will meditate on abundance for 2 weeks. If it doesn't happen, he stops. If it happens, he stops. Well, let's say 2 months. You understand? So do you want it that badly? How can we be at 2%? 2%. That's even worse than a 9. Is there anything worse than a 9? Eh? F9. Eh? Like 2%. So somebody, let's say you start getting a certain level of abundance. Now you're seeing money coming and what? Then you get excited. Then you stop. Now, you stop at the time when you actually were supposed to carry on with it, until you totally master it. Now, when you get to that level of mastery, now like that person, you will not see what happened behind the door when he puts a basin of water and meditates on walking on water, then he stands in, then he sinks to the bottom. Then he does it again and again. Then finally it happens once, then it doesn't happen, then it happens a second time, after 2 years, then he has mastered it. Now he cannot do it anytime. Okay? Now that's how everything spiritual is. It's a craft. You have to understand that it comes through. Now, what causes people, for instance, to even other things which people do, like you pray for the sick, then this one gets healed, this one gets healed, then you stop. Then the next time you start, you're starting afresh. Yet if you had continued, you would now be just touching people and they're getting healed. You understand? Eh? But somehow you get satisfied with so little. And you say, man, the other day I prayed for somebody who had cancer and they got healed. Now you don't understand that. Now it is easier for the next one to get healed because you've already seen it. Now, if the second one gets healed, see as third, fourth, fifth. Now, after you've done it over and over again, like those people, like you know you completely practice it, then now you can even walk into the cancer ward. Because there's something that you have done which is you're sure of. Eh? Now you have to grow it. Now this is the thing with some people here and abundance. Like the level of the dreams, because they do not understand the things that God has prepared for us. And the things, what he wants us to be in the world. I'll give you an example which really shocked me, but also amused me. You know, sometime this past week, some guys, Samba Fede, go on Bukedde and announce that they are Illuminati, that they are calling for people. Did you hear that, about that story? That they are going to give them 5 million to come and join Illuminati. At 3 a.m., people were already lining up. 5 million. A soul for sale at 5 million. And then you wonder, what image has the church portrayed? You understand? If a pastor stood there and said, come for 5 million, how many people would come? Because we've let the projection go out there. But now the thing is, you say, how can people go and sell their soul for Illuminati? Why don't you have the 5 million yourself? And come and say, come and attend the Watchman Conference, 1 million each for attending. Because you have the money. Now the thing is, imagine people are going to sell their souls for 5 million shillings. And 3 a.m. they were lining up outside you. 3 a.m. Man, and I was in shock. And I said that, The biggest lie the devil told the church is that, those things of frowning on prosperity. Because people will go where there is money. Amen? Now, last week I was telling you that you have the truth, but you are not looking like the truth you profess. So, you have the truth, but do you look like the truth? You have to look like the truth, where you come and say, God is the one who prospers. And then everybody looks at you and says, yes, that is true. Now, somehow, even church people participated in the spreading of that whole thing of everybody who has money is Illuminati. That one is Illuminati. That is Illuminati. And you don't know that you're falling into a trap of the devil. Now, people get it in their minds that if you are going to get money, it's that. So, you're telling them, now you have to suffer on earth so that you go to heaven. That was not the gospel that was being preached. And definitely it's not the gospel for this dispensation. Okay? There is no way you are going to have dominion without money. Now you imagine how much dominion that is. Imagine if you could say, okay, not even 100k. We have a Watchman Conference. Now after that, some of them will genuinely get born again. But they will not come because they have to spend the day earning money. So we say, I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying we are going to do this. But imagine if we had that outlay of money and we say, now, the Watchman is what? Anybody who comes, interest, 100k. Yeah. 3 a.m. This place would be full. 3 a.m. What you do, you pay them at the end of the conference. Eh? Because if you give the money, they will go. Now, at the end of the conference, they've heard the word. And you've sown a seed. But you see, we have a responsibility to be rich. It is not about us. You understand? That thing made me sad. Sad that people, a soul, to be sold at 5 million. And everybody runs money. And then they are saying, where is the money? Where is the money? We have the souls. Just give us the money. We just give us eternal life. Those are yours. Want what? 1.5 million. And man, by the way, it was a real wake-up call for me, because I realized that evangelizing in this period without money makes work 100 times more difficult. Imagine if you're coming from, you know, and this is what God wants us to do. Imagine if you're coming from that, whatever. Then you say, anything, any program you want, you just put it out there. That is actually what is dominion. That's dominion, when you can just get people to run around for you. That's dominion. And that's actually what God promised Israel. Because you see, God uses a prototype of people to project a certain message to the rest of the world. So he gets, and it's very important, because you see, the first 11 chapters of the Bible cover 2,000 years of history. Now the next 12 chapters are all about Abraham and his, you know, 11 chapters, 2,000 years, 12 chapters Abraham. Why? He's the prototype. So God calls Abraham and says, now you're the one who I'm going to use as the example. So I'm going to do this. Now through you, then your seed, Israel. Then through Israel, then the rest of the world are supposed to be to see the greatness of God through Israel. Because all the other kingdoms have their gods. So it is up to the people of God to show the rest of the people that our God is great, yours is not. You understand? Now, if the people do not do it, God is not going to come and does not do it himself, unless the people actually... Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 18, it says, also today the Lord has proclaimed you to be his special people, just as he promised you that you should keep all his commandments, 19, and that he will set you high above all nations which he has made. Why? Because by you being high, your God is high. There is no way, when you have pastors coming from up country and fighting for sumbusas at Lugogo, because the sumbusas are over, do you know they had to actually go to game, and eventually they bought for them these, what are they called, safi, okay, sambu pastors. Like, you really are cheapening the gospel, and people look at you and they despise your God because of you. And God wants you high above, so that when people see you and you say, praise the Lord, you know, you meet in board meetings, and you know, so you're there with other guys and say, praise the Lord, man, fellowship yesterday was wonderful, what? And people are all looking at you and they are going to listen to what you have to say. Now your God is glorified. Now this was what he wanted for Israel. I set you apart, I do something special in you. In battle you cannot be touched, in money you cannot be touched, in numbers I multiply you, in herds and everything, so that all the people will look. Because it was not just people, were the God of Israel, the God of Israel. So you hear, they hear what he did in Egypt. So when they come, they say, we are dead. Do you know, up to 500 years later, more than 500 years later, there's a time when God moved and the ground shook, and the people say that we are in serious trouble. Isn't this the God who destroyed Egypt? Now, where his reputation goes for hundreds of years, because people know that, if, you know. But now you see people marketing their God as very poor, as very, and the fault is ours, because we do not have the ability to stick to one thing and actually make it a reality in our lives, to the point where it is not something you're talking about. You understand? And if you stuck to it, even in these 6 weeks of remaining of the year, if you really stuck to it and say nothing else, now the only thing I'm going to be meditating about is abundance. Why is it so important for me, and why am I talking about it so much? Because without it, when you're still scratching the bottom of the barrel, you are going to reach very few people. Amen? Very few people. Now I'll tell you, here at the conference, we could have transported like an extra 2,000 people. But we had a budget. Now that makes me sad. Because Guru, I told them we want a coaster. They told me we want a bus. I said, okay, bus. They said we want 2 buses. Eventually, we could have come 5 buses. But that's the budget for which we had. Now, other places, coaster, school. If we actually would have increased the amount of... Now, then you say that, imagine just for an extra, a bus was 2.8 million. 24 some it was cheaper. We didn't even touch Mbale because budget. Now those are the things which annoy me. That we should never come to a place where we are not reaching out to the people of God because of money. How can we not? Imagine if people are willing to sell their souls for 5 million shillings. Then that shows the failure of the church. Complete, total failure of the church. Because we should be in a position to save those people from the fires of hell. And if money is the only thing they are going to listen to, at least it will get them to listen to what we have to say. Some of them will not convert, of course. Just as I'm sure some of them would not have entered Illuminati. They would get the money and board. So those ones will always be there. But even if you save... Now, I remember sometime I was having an argument with some gentleman at... there were two. There was one who was a Baptist. Yeah? I know these are the people who have actually messed up the gospel. Because they take away passion, they take away the supernatural, and they make Christianity a study. We are doing Bible study. And they say those people who believe in the supernatural don't know the Bible. So I'm arguing with this gentleman. So he tells me, can you believe Benny Hinn came here in a private jet? I said, yes. I said, can you imagine all that money? I told him, can you believe how many thousands of people got born again? Like, it's a stupid person who will not see that there is people there, even if it's one person. What is a private jet? Drug dealers are moving in private jets. So as far as God is concerned, even if one person got born again from that crusade, one person, and stayed in the Lord, what is jet fuel and all that? But you see, when people fail to, and now they twist the whole thing. So he said, now that money could have been given to the poor, and what? The poor have something they need more than money. And that thing is the gospel. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. Okay? And he has done what? He's upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, you just leave that scripture. No, leave, stay there. He has sent me, look at that scripture. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. What do brokenhearted people need? What do brokenhearted people need? Yes. To proclaim liberty to who? Because captives need liberty, right? And recovery of sight to those who are blind. So those who are blind need their sight, right? And those who are oppressed need what? Liberty. But he says, those who are poor need the gospel. Because the real gospel makes them rich. So Jesus is saying, the solution to poor, just preach to them the gospel. Not the other stupid gospel of somebody use the private jet so you're angry. No, the real gospel is what the poor people need. The full gospel of Jesus Christ. So Jesus in his... So he says, brokenhearted, healing. Oppressed, liberty. Captives, liberty. Poor, gospel. So, now, if the gospel does not make people rich, it is not full gospel. It is just half gospel. And if we are still talking about harvest, and we are not actually... We are 2%. Then, man, we haven't really believed in the things we are talking about. Have we? Now, look at how that is. So, you are angry because somebody flew in a private jet to come and preach the gospel when there were thousands of people who got born again and others who got healed. Now, imagine God in heaven in the streets of gold and word saying that man is wasting money. The scripture says there is rejoicing in heaven when one person, now there are thousands, and yet somebody is angry about the money spent. Now, you see, that is the spirit of poverty. And it really, really had taken hold of the church. That's why people will hear Illuminati and they will come running. If they had church, they would not come. They would say those ones are lying. That's why you have a scenario where the president goes to a place and gives little money. And then somebody says, man, we don't know what the church would do without you. Maybe he knows what the church would do without Jesus Christ, but without Museveni. Like, and that's a pastor. And you just want to get your sword for him. The church would be much better off without that clown. Now let me tell you, because he has subdued those guys, completely subdued them, and they eat out of his palms. And it is sad. And he wants to put everybody there. I'm telling you, when they took me there, the one thing they're asking me, how much money do you earn? Where do you get it from? What? Because they think they can stop my money. But if I'm going to sit and multiply money, try stopping that. So you mean you stay where you stay and you do what and take your children to it just out of pastoring? I say, yes. Don't you do any business? No. There's no business? No. They had a whole, like 27 questions, and all of them were about money. Money. Because he thinks he can make me eat out of his palms, like those people. You understand? Eh? So they think if they have a business, they close here, they close here, they close here, close here. Then somehow you're broke. Then also you start going and fighting for sumbusas at Lugoku. If the church only knew how powerful, like this, like when a word is given concerning something to do with harvest, how powerful it is for us to go and meditate. When you actually take a grasp of it in your spirit, there is nothing any government can do. Nothing. The system of God was made that you create your world. God created his world by thinking it in his mind. I want a world like this. Then he speaks and it comes into place. You are made in his image. You think what you want and speak it, and it comes into place. Okay? Now, do you really take time to think about this? Because in your prosperity is ours as a ministry. You understand? Eh? Not mine as an individual. No. Me, I can get without, you know. If I meditate, I will get one way or the other. But as a ministry, you understand? So in yours is ours. So that's why it is important that to God that we keep on pumping this thing home until such a time as you know for sure that the biggest, the game plan of the Lord involves you walking in prosperity. There is none whatsoever. Involves you being at the top, just like it was for Israel. Go back to that scripture. In praise, that he will set you high above all nations, which he has made. In praise, where people are praising you. You say they are supposed to be praising God. When they praise you, they are praising God. You see, people don't... The scripture says you cannot say you love God, yet you hate a man. Isn't it? Yeah. So you cannot say you honor God, yet you dishonor men of God. So he says... In praise, in name, actually in other translations says in fame, and in honor. So he's saying also, you know, in honor, that you may be a holy people to the Lord, your God, just as he has spoken. Holy, sanctified, set apart. Let me use you as an example. And by you, the rest of the world will see what God can do. Because they will not see it if you're just here speaking it out. But when you start looking like it, when you look like the things you preach, praise the Lord. Now you see some people here, you want to go and do business, but you do not want to be at the point of what is God doing? What is God saying? What is he saying? What is he doing? You think somehow there's a bit of corporate thing, but there's no way corporately, I'll tell you that deal with that person, don't deal with this one and what, you know? You have to get those things from the Lord yourself. Now, there are people here, somebody was telling me the other day, of some girl who every time when she closes her eyes to sleep, she sees a very powerful city which she's supposed to build somewhere. A big city, wonderful city. Ha! And God is saying, you're the one who's going to build it. Now, and then it's marvelous. Then you sleep. Then you're carried in some kind of vision. And you're seeing a city. And God is saying, and then, you know, in the spirit, there is no time. In there, she's actually sitting on the balcony of one of the, you know, skyscrapers up there. Cheating, and she has built the city, and that's how God is seeing her now. Now, if you look at her, and she even told you that you'd recommend psychiatric help, but God is seeing her. Then, you know, if I remember well the story, it was because she did tell me herself this is second hand. Then she said, but how, you know, she was telling God that, but how is this possible? How am I going to do that? And what? And he had one answer for her. He said, I am God. I am God. Like, I can do anything. Like, so how is this going to happen? I said, don't worry, I am God. Now, that is the point where he has to announce that, don't worry, all the obstacles you see, I made everything and everyone. So I can do anything I want. All I need is for you to believe me. I'll believe what I'm doing. Now, something like that. Now, you can go two ways. Either you get overwhelmed, and you know, then you start listening to what, then you share your dreams with people who are useless people and who think in the flesh. Then they start telling you, with this government, you cannot do what and what. You know what you do? They would even do what? They would send for you what? There are people who are experts, eh? People who are looking down, and all they can see are obstacles, eh? Of this government, you know, this what, you know, even what. they will do this. And the truth is, there was a time I was like that. Where you are, everything you're doing, you have to factor in the consideration of something which is so temporary and is about to vanish. And yet God is giving you something which is eternal, which is, I'm God. But some people say, but you see, Museveni, he says, I am God. I'm in charge of that man's next breath. Now, sometimes, you know, it takes, especially people have been so much in this system, you really have to get a screwdriver and borrow it in their head, that God is God. You understand? And like, if it's, like, you really have to, you know, has it entered, like, really, put it on the end of a screwdriver, and, you know, because now, so she comes out of there. Now, how does that happen? Now, the thing is, you do not get confused. Just let the person who showed it to you do it. You understand? He's not asking you to do it. He knows you can't. He's asking you to cooperate with him. Now, that is where many people lose out, because it becomes a burden. Yet the burden is his, not yours. The burden of what he has promised you is not yours. It is his. You do, like, so you just say, okay, if that's what you want to do, and you've chosen me, and you are God, then okay, chewed. So now, then you take it step by step. Now do this, now do that, now do that. Now go and meet the other person. Now do this, you know what? Step by step, step by. The next thing you know, it's beginning to take shape, take shape, take shape, and take shape. Then suddenly people are starting to see you in a different way. And you know, even you seeing yourself in a different way. And just by taking the next step, taking the next step, then you wake up one day, 10 years from now, and there's this thing, and it is there. Praise the Lord. But you have to have the mindset, which honestly I know very not too many people have, of look, lift up your eyes. Now it is so typical of God to show you a city when you're 3 months in arrears of rent, and he's showing you a city which you are going to build. It is so typical of him, because he wants you to lift up your eyes. Because if you lift them down to rent, that's the end of the dream. Amen? Eh. And that's what he does when he says to people who are in the wilderness, eating meals which fall every day. And he tells them, it shall so come to pass that when you have built goodly cities and dwell in them, cities were in the wilderness, don't worry. When you build, and he's giving them laws of how they will, of what they will do when they are there. Because this is now, if you don't understand that concept, that there is nothing about him, that because he's in control of the time, he's in control of what's ahead. So he tells you what's ahead, and now the only thing he is not in control of is whether or not you believe him. Whose report will you believe? Now that one he has no control over. He will impress on you his thing and tell you what you can do, what he wants you to do, and what he has selected. Of all the people in the world, he says, I have selected you. You're the one who is going to do it. Now, but if you don't want, then there is nothing the creator of heaven and earth can do. He will just have to look for somebody else. Praise the Lord. So, that's where he's saying, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Because, actually, although people make fun of that song, there are so many people who God passes. Because it comes and tries to lift you up, lift you up, lift you up, show you possibilities that you know, but rent, now you're showing me these cities, rent, rent. Then he shows you this, rent, rent. There's a lady who came and told me that the Lord told her some things, you know. She's supposed to have a very powerful ministry. Then the Lord would appear to her, actually real appear, and tell her, what can I do for you? Then she says, I want a job and a husband. Then he looks at her, then he goes. Then he comes back, like months later. What can I do for you? A job and a husband. Then he goes. 3 times. A job and a husband. And you know, it must really be hard for God, because he's trying to show you there are bigger things than a job and a husband. And actually those would just, if you believed him, those would be fringe benefits. You understand? Eh? It's like saying, God is calling you to be, let's say, the president. Then you say, what can I do for you? Man, I want a good car. And then God looks and says, look at this guy. Have you ever seen a president who drives a bad car? Then he says, what can I do for you? A car. Then God looks at you and says, now you're really a baby. Then, if after some time you don't change, then he moves on to somebody else who will see things his way. Because he cannot deal with somebody like that. You have to be able to see the bigger picture. Now, the reason people meditate on disabundance and stop halfway is because they will not see the big picture. They don't know that God is as interested in you being there as you, more interested in you being there than you are. Amen? So if it is not happening, you ask why. Don't ask what. Ask why. There is a picture that you're not seeing. There is something ahead that you're not seeing. And yet there is an urgency for this end time that you have to be in that place. So that you are the example. You're a chosen nation, a royal priesthood. You know? That you may show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That you may show forth the praises. Not that you may sing forth. You see, right now you sing them. But the time comes when you show them. You show them by the life you lead. Then people see and they praise God. By what they see, not by what they hear. You understand? So show forth the praises. So the way Israel was, I will make sure people who come to you one direction go seven. I'll make sure this happens. You're prosperous. You lend, but you do not borrow. You do this and what, and everything. And then, because, remember he said you lend. Yeah? He did not say you just don't borrow. Because lending is dominion. Because a borrower is a servant of what? The lender. So you have to get to the point where you're lending people money, because then you have dominion over them by the scripture. Praise the Lord. So where people come to you to borrow money, so you're borrowing. Now, those ones, that's dominion. Because once you lend somebody, money is in your pocket. True? By the scripture. So that's why I said you will lend, but you'll not borrow. Now, you're there thinking about, you know, I finished my house and I'm at the, you know, roofing what? And God is looking at you saying, now, really, okay, it's good to have the house, but those are fringe benefits, you understand, eh? Of the bigger picture. The big picture. You know? Big picture. Now then you see that whole, you know, that poverty mindset, which is in the world, showing billionaires over eating a kafunda somewhere. Eh? Can you imagine? You see them on social media. Eh? This billionaire is, you know, then he's in a kafunda somewhere with his hands, you know, with his sleeves rolled up, eh? And he's eating. And then say, then yet Ugandans say they cannot eat there. If he wants to eat there, let him eat there. I have to look what I say. I have to look the gospel. Amen? Hey, I have to look the gospel. Now, that is fake. Those people have dominion. But they are trying to keep you in that place. Because one of the biggest things, by the way, of why people cannot even get themselves to think bigger is because that kind of thing entered them, that social gospel. Eh? That how many poor people, you know? I remember there is some man of God in Nigeria who said that the Lord had told them to start paying the national debt of the country. He said, you people have become so rich. He's saying that in church. You become so rich, it's time to start paying the national debt for your country. Now, I told it to a pastor here in Uganda who has a poverty mindset. He said, but you see, God knows if the country is going to reach a certain level, they cannot be in debt. Debt is chains. So he says, okay, because the people are giving you that debt, they want to keep you in bondage. So he says, okay, now imagine where, because you see people say, but we have enough money just for ministry. Yet, as a matter of fact, when God tells you that when you start doing it, the money will come and you end up paying, then now you say, our country is not indebted to anybody. So now we can move in what? In, you know, in dominion, real dominion. But when you're in debt, yeah, if they bring Siaga, you have no choice. If they bring this, you have no choice. They bring that, you have no choice. Eh? You know, in Kenya, recently, I think even this week or last week, I don't know if you heard about it, these Bill Gates people came with their population control, you know what, abortion, eh? Spreading, you know, the whole abortion thing and what. Now, interestingly, the president, in the presence of the people who had come to promote the thing, started speaking in Kiswahili and said, these guys are fake. These guys are fake. Now they think they can spread their things here for us. We don't want it. In Kiswahili. And the guys are seated there. Then when he had finished speaking to the people in Kiswahili, then told them, but anyway, but when they come, don't worry what I will say there. But this is what I really think. Man, poverty is bad. You say what you don't think. So, Now when they finished, when he finished talking to his guy, Jamaz in Kiswahili, then the guys came. This program is very good for Kenya. But that is domicile. You say, look what is here. Now, and yet actually people in the whole country stood up and, you know, demonstrated against it. Because there is no dominion without numbers. China is big because of numbers. And those people see who are going to outproduce them eventually and run them down. Because somebody says, I may have only one kid, or a surrogate mother, or what? Here, a woman has 8 kids. Pa, 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 pa. Now, eventually, just by sheer numbers, you hammer them. Just by sheer numbers. So then they bring in these things. Over rubella. Over what? You know what is rubella? Who is a medical person? Sounds like ribena. Eh? What sickness is that? Eh? What is it? German measles? Is what? You're born with it. Eh? So if I don't have it, why are you vaccinating? The mothers, why they don't? But if they don't have it, then how can they give it to them? Can they vaccinate against sickle cells? So if you don't have sickle cells, you don't have it. So can your child have sickle cells if neither you or the mother has it? Is it possible? No. What do I know? Me, I'm under the watchman. Okay, that's one sword. Now, so then they bring in their things. But let me tell you, read Exodus chapter 1, verse 5. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. Now, 70 persons who went from Canaan to Egypt, 70, and found a whole nation of people. Verse 6. And Joseph died, all his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly. Fruitfulness also includes children. Now if they start selling to you this gospel of what? Get children you can look after. You can fail to look after one child. Of course, there's also the other whatever. But it says, increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty. Their might was in numbers. And the land was filled with them. They came 70. But a few generations later, the land was full of them. Okay, go ahead. So, then they became a threat to the new king. Because they were greater than the people they found there. So, now, this whole, you know, how many children do you have? Me, I want only one. And that's selfishness. What if you had grown up as a single child and you had nobody to play with? People who grew up as single children know that it's not good. You need some, you know, activity. Brothers, sisters, what? Imagine that you don't have a brother, you don't have a sister. Most of them get spoiled, you know. But you see that some of people said it, then it comes here, oh, what, you know. Then they sell the whole abortion thing, then they sell what? You know, I'm not ready to look after the child. Who told you? By the time you got the child, you're ready. By the time you conceived, you're ready. If you are not ready, you will not have conceived. Now, okay, they arose a new king over Egypt who did not know. Okay, this one will finished. Anyway, dominion. Dominion is told not by where you go, but by who comes to you. By what? That's why he says that the nations will come to the brightness of your what? Isaiah 60. To the brightness of your... And by the way, I wish people understood how, like, the Gentiles shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Arise and time and arise and shine, for your time is come. Now, you see, your greatness is told not by where you go. You see, where that's what the people used to, that's what the old church thought. So somebody says, a man of God who has traveled 119 countries. It's okay, you've traveled. But if you held an event here, would anyone come outside of your district? If you held an event and people come from 119 countries, that's dominion. But if you've gone there, that means nothing. It's like somebody calls for a party at his home and the whole city comes. That's dominion. But imagine if somebody comes and says, man, I've attended parties in this city, man. I was in this party. I was at Raymond, whatever. I was at... But man, this nation has trivialized everything, man. Can you imagine that was front page in New Vision? Okay, like that is... Okay, anyway, let me not talk too much. No wonder they are selling Illuminati. Because a national newspaper of record front page. No, there was even no headline, just a picture. Maybe that's dominion. So, but my point is, so dominion is all about who comes to you, not where you've gone. The people who will come when you call, that's dominion. That's your influence. So now, and I wish people knew how to grow their influence. How to grow their influence. And influence, you can grow your influence, and there is a way you do it. And God actually wants people to learn how to grow your influence. Whatever it is you're doing, where you know that your influence is told by who comes to you, by how much people are singing your songs, or quoting you, or listening to your messages. But not by how many messages you listen to, but just spreading your influence. Praise the Lord. And then you understand. It is also told by how many people bring to you money. The scripture says, kings brought 666 shekels of gold to Solomon every year. So people are just bringing gold, gold, gold from everywhere. Then they are bringing trees from, you know, sycamore trees from Lebanon. Then they are bringing this from there, they are bringing this from here. And they are just bringing it. Then people are coming to listen to his wisdom from Ethiopia. Then these ones are coming out. Now that is real dominion. Where it is geographical, it is by how far the word has spread. Where somebody comes and says, we heard about you from our country. And we came to witness for ourselves. Now indeed, you're even greater than what we had. Praise the Lord. Now, but what we are taking home here tonight, I want you to take from here today, you are not going to stop meditating on abundance until these 6 weeks. I want to see something coming out of it. Don't just go and do business. First, you know, that's the doing thing. That's what I was saying when I start doing this. I'm going here, but what? I get scared because it's very easy to come away from where you are being inspired to where you're doing, and then the next thing happens, you're dry, completely dry, you're just there doing things. Now, when I see that, I take time off. You know, I traveled to Hoima with some pastor, and he was telling me he preaches 6 days a week. I didn't want to tell him, but I said, now, I give you 3 years, you'll have worn yourself out. Because how can you give out 6 days a week? When do you ever eat? When do you ever feed? When do you ever have time to actually get something for yourself before you give out? 6 days a week? But you know now, in his mind, that is success. He said, we are on radio, 7 radios. So I have to go from this radio to the other one, to the other one, to the other one. I said, yeah, okay, that's good. Then he says, now, over on 3 days we have a choto. So people come to pray. Then he's there, he has to lead. Now, he doesn't want to know, because he's scared if he doesn't lead, people will go. They're doing a choto. And they say, hey, but that's good. Then what we have, Friday we have one overnight. Sunday, of course, we have how many services. And now, of course, he's young. And in his world, that is. But man, there is nothing that destroys like that. Because you are giving what you are not getting. And eventually, you run dry. Then you ask somebody, after some time, diminishing returns. So somebody has not been spending time with God, but he's dispensing. So every time he's even opening a Bible, he's thinking about what he's going to teach. He can never read the Bible for himself. Amen? Now, if I get to a point where I'm opening the Bible for what I'm going to teach, then I will take 2 weeks off and first go and read the Bible just to know what God is saying. Amen? So that it is not about me preaching. It is about me feeding. I'm feeding because you cannot give what you don't have. Praise the Lord. Now, what we are going to take here is go and meditate on finance. And meditation is the most powerful thing. You know, I wish people understood that. You know, sometimes you learn from the people of the world. Where I had a lady who was going to act in a movie. That she meditated 6 months on a role. And she meditated over 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day. Just to act a movie role. Now, I dare you. If you did that for just 2 weeks, 8 hours a day, on abundance, I dare you that your finances remain the same. They cannot. It is because it has not entered you inside. You've not yet conceived it properly. Now imagine you went and said, this 2 weeks of Christmas holiday, I'm going to meditate. Okay, before that maybe. Or even forget 8 hours, 3 hours a day. You say, I'm going to meditate on a finance. And then you get a picture of what finance you want. What you want to be doing. Okay? Then you set for yourself a target of I want this and this. Sometimes you set targets of what you're going to give, because that's a sign that, you know, now you're moving in a certain direction. Then, when you meditate on it, and it is so well ingrained inside you, then every seed you sow, you reap almost instantaneously. The reason you sow and then say, I sowed seed, I'm not reaping, is because you're hoping that the seed is going to cover for your lack of faith. But it does not. Amen? What it does, it stays there. It does, you do not lose it entirely. But when you come to that point of faith, then that's when it comes into place. So, let's read this last one, then we conclude. Isaiah 55. I've spoken about this before. Let me speak about it again, because it's very important that we maximize these 6 weeks for abundance. 55 verse 10. Verse 10 says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and they do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread for the eater." Now look at that. The same way that the water, the rain and snow, which is also a kind of rain, come, and the purpose is to come and fall on the ground, soften the ground, make the ground ready and sowable. Now when the rain comes, then the ground buds and then gives seed to the sower and bread for food. Then it says, just as the rain does that, it comes, it never goes back, it comes and stays there. Then the next verse it says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now, the rain and the word. Now, the reason you sow and the ground does not bud is because there has not been rain. Now, when you hear a word like this and actually go and meditate and say, they said, I'm going to meditate strictly on abundance. Now, the rain is falling in your heart constantly, because every time you meditate on it, the rain is falling. Now the thing is, if you finish here and then you go and meditate on other things, then it's just a little rain in a drought. You cannot plant when it rains for 10 minutes or let's say even 1 hour in a drought. You need the rain to be constant. True? Yes. So now you go and make the rain constant by constantly meditating on this and saying abundance, and give a picture to what you want your abundance to look like. Okay, don't just say abundance. Just say, what would my abundance look like? For me to say I'm in abundance, I would have to be doing this, living there, doing this, being able to do this. And don't make it so selfish. Eh? Let's say for me, I would want to give, let's say, a monthly partnership of 5 million. Then I would say that's abundance. Okay? Of course, if you're giving 5 million, it means you're getting more than that. Or you'd say, I would want to feed all this number of street children, you know? That's when I would say it's abundance. Of course, also you add things which of yourself. Now, so you get a picture to it. Then you start meditating. Now, the meditation is not what people have made it out to be, as if you're going to sit with your legs crossed like this. You're like, you know, like those people, like a Buddhist. No, it is just what you think about all the time during the day. What you go around chewing through your mind. You understand? Now, it is so easy to meditate on negative things. For instance, if I called you and I told you, that guy said you're fake, you know that you have legs, body guy. Now, you will meditate on that for 5 days. And the result of it will be anger, bitterness, and what, isn't it? Would you struggle to meditate on that? Yeah. Now, why is it so much easier for people to meditate on negative things than positive things? Because they do not know the value of the positive as compared to the damage of the negative. So now, if somebody comes and says something fake about me, the temptation to go there, to meditate on it is there, but I refuse. I say, I just keep it out, because you're using energy, which you should have used for something good, for fake things. So what are you going to do after meditating on it? Maybe it is true you actually have mbadika. So, rather than get angry over that, I say, no, I will use that energy to actually think on something positive. Then I start thinking about my house, which I want to live in. Then you wake up in the morning and you're drawing pictures of that house, how it is going to be. I want to put like a basketball thing there so that I can come and then the swimming pool is going to be here. Now there is no tax on meditation. Not even this government, which is tax crazy, can tax meditation. So you have the right to meditate on anything. Amen. So if The price of meditating on small things is the same as the price of meditating on big things. What are you doing meditating on small things? It takes the same amount of energy. So, say, man, I want the swimming pool here. Then you even get crazier and go to the house, your dream house. How much is it? $1 million. Yeah. Were you planning to build the swimming pool? Yeah. I would have preferred it here. But you know, you don't even have a money. But you have the right. There is no prison for people who what? Go and kulamuze. Now, now you see the people, some people are very timid. And you see now those things. And by the way, I realize, I remember this man of God whom I used to live, this a long time ago. He's from South Korea. He said the Lord, because he was from a very, very poor background, then the Lord told him to go and speak, like as if to, you know, the governor of the place and tell him he wants a piece of land where he's going to build a church or something like that. So he said, but do not even let me in. Because who am I, you know? They'll not let you in. Then he said, the Lord told him, to go and tell them you're coming from the highest authority. So he went in and said, you know, put on your car, you know, suit and go there. And said, I want to see the top authority. Who are you? He says, I'm coming from the highest authority. So the guy thought he was coming from the president. But he was coming from a higher authority than what? Than the president. So eventually he went and talked to the man. And then God would put him in tight situations just to remove the timidity out of him, eh? Like some, because some people are so timid, you cannot even go and talk. Like God has to just, I could see when I was reading that book of his so many years ago, I wonder, but why does God do things like that? But then you realize he has to actually take a certain level of timidness out of you for you to be the person he wants you to be, eh? Because you're scared. Now go and talk to the minister. Me talking to the minister, what will I tell them? What? And like, and you've lost an opportunity. And yet God is saying, go and talk to him. Now when you go there, at the word of the Lord, you actually find out the person was waiting for you. In a way, you understand it? Eh? You find that the person was waiting for you. Now somebody told him, go and speak to the bank and tell them to give you ABC. ABC and so on. So you went to the bank and sold them an idea. And the bank said, that's a good idea. We'll actually fund it without any collateral. The only thing we'll do is that all the money you get out of it, for the first, we'll have to pay ourselves back plus interest. Then after that, it's yours. But he's buying something which is going to last for a while. Now, so he gets a loan, in brackets, which is actually not a loan. The bank is buying something for him and he's managing it and paying back their money. You understand? So if he fails, the loss is the bank's, not his. And now, God tells him, go and talk to them. Now, you've missed out. You've missed out. So he was calculating for me. In 7 months, he would have paid back all their money. And you'll be earning hundreds of millions every month. So I'm like, wow. And God just sent you there. Go there. Now then you, but God, now let me go with somebody. What? And like, God is saying, go. You, go. Praise the Lord. So some people have to, you know, they have to have this thing shaken out of them so that they become bold. The righteous as bold as a lion, the Bible says, Proverbs 28, verse 1. Righteous as bold as a lion. So, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So some people cannot even go to a house which they want to stay in. And yet other people are going there. So, other people go there. How much is it? Then for you go there and look at the house. But God, let me start with it. What? And yet there is no... Just go and look at it and say, wow, this looks good. Yeah. Then when it actually gets inside you, inside, and you actually go and read it. I'm telling you, things happen at that level. I am repeating myself because I want you to learn something. And I want you to really learn something. And know that there is a lot that can be achieved at that level. Okay? Now when the word is given, and you make it continuously fall on your heart by meditating on it. Abundance. Thank you, Lord, for this abundance. Even when you're having your breakfast of roasted maize and what? Chai mukaru. Say, man, God, I thank you because I'm abundantly supplied. We are living in times of abundance and abundance and abundance and abundance. And eventually you talk it until you psych yourself. And then you actually start, like, actually seeing it. Then now, you see what you're planning, bigger things and what, then you're abundance. Now when the first money comes, then some people stop. And then now God is like, no. Like, now it is easier. You started when you had nothing. Now you have something. So it is much easier for you to continue, press on, until it actually is completely abundance. Then you come and tell us that now, if you want to fly first class, no problem. If you want, like everyone has a dream of what abundance would look like for them. I want to go where, I want to go what. Like, you have your dream there. And now God is is a dreamer. But you know, the issue people have for the most part is small dreams. I think, let me tell you a story of some guy. I probably have said this sometime before. This guy whom I knew, who was very broke. And now here is the problem with small dreams. This guy was very broke. And he went and did something. Just out of, you know, those things which are inspired. Now some people will say God told me. Sometimes God does not tell you. You actually, it's just inspired. Something comes, an idea comes, it pops out of nowhere, and you do it. And it was actually God who was inspiring you. And then you go and it takes off. And then you know, when you look back later, you realize God was in that. But I didn't even know. So the guy goes and gets husks of soya. After people make I think they make porridge or what, all those things from soya. So the husks apparently at the time were being cast away as some kind of unwanted stuff. So he goes and gets them and takes them to into Kenya, this western side of Kenya, to some bazungu who are rearing pigs. So many pigs. So he takes it there and then as pig food. Inspired, I know the guy, I was seeing him. I knew him, broke as broke comes. So he takes it there and says, just takes a sample and says this, you know, I can supply this thing for your pigs. So the guys fed the thing to the pigs and the pigs loved it. And the pigs were growing fat normal. And those people are exporting big, you know, pork to Britain and what. Those people, they like pork like normal. You think you like pork, Try those guys. Everything has pork. So the bazungu were happy. They said, can you supply this amount? He said, yeah, no problem. So he started supplying. And now, the first week, he made a profit of 4 million. I'm talking about 1998. 98? Yeah. Earlier than that. 96. Yes. 96. Because I remember we were watching Euro 96, which was hosted in England. So I remember that. So it was 1996. 4 million in one trip. So you know, man, he came back. Then when he came back, there was some Nyaru beautiful girl who had jammed him. Now he went and made another bid. This time she said yes. So things were what? Things were moving. Now he went the second trip. And I'm trying to show you how typical poor-minded people think, which is what you should not be like. Because if you are going to be this kind of person who God is telling you, so now he went back a second time, got more. And after some time he was making two trips a week. Now the bazungu were excited. They were excited. Then he missed one trip. They told him, what's the problem? Is the money less? Can we give you some more money? But the problem is, he had too much money. He had reached his limit. And he was now bored with the whole thing. The Nyarubeba said yes, he had bought a car there. What? He had moved into a fairly decent house. Things, I mean, life was good. So these things of sitting on a trader going to Nakuru every two times every week. He said, I've been many. You know, actually, that's what he said. He said, now, but that's small-minded people. He said, be menya. Now, then, do you know those people were so desperate for his feed? Meanwhile, he was getting the feed here very easily. They were so desperate for the feed that they told him that we can pay you up front. Previously, they were paying him after he delivers. They would give him a check on delivery. Then they said, maybe the money is a problem. Let's pay you. So they would send him the money to Kampala ahead of time. Because now the pigs were what? Used to the food. And you know, eventually, to cut a long story short, he cut off the whole thing and what. Now, it only took 1 year. I found him one day, I was walking in town. I found him one day sitting at post office. You know that place, this is even put a black tar so that people don't sit there. Because so many idlers, they put black tar and then they put, you know, sharp. But it's not easy to be poor, man. So, all jobless people used to go and sit there around post office. So I found him seated. That time they hadn't put that. People were better those days. Kinder to, you know, broke people. I found him seated there. They said, come here, Matthew. I said, Amin. Now, when I knew him that time, he was broke, I was broker. But now when I met him later, things had become a bit better. But the man became broke. Broke. It was spectacular. And then I said, man, the power. By the way, I remember him as a typical example, because that man could have made money because the Bazungu were giving him more orders. Meanwhile, you would come here, there's a place here near, on industry near New Vision, where you would just come and get the stuff. Eh? Then eventually, when they realized he was making money, they made him pay very little money for it. So a majority of the expenditure was actually in what? Transportation. And the Bazungu were saying every time, should we increase the money? Eventually, they got like somebody else and what? And it's not that he failed to find supply. The supply was there, the demand was there, but yeah, things were okay. The babe had said, eventually, of course, the babe left him, of course. The way small dreams can mess people up, by the way. Now, you find somebody like that, can he say God has never inspired him? No, he has something. God just, and I knew him. I used to be around his house so long. Like the idea just flashed out of the blue, bam, and the Spirit of God gives you something, and that's it. So if you do not take time to build your capacity beforehand, and actually completely build your capacity, and say, now I can handle big things. If the Lord brings something big for me, I am ready. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? So you go and meditate and say, now if anything God brings, I'm ready for it. So that you don't reach halfway and feel like you've reached the end of the world. And then you start shooting yourself in the foot until the next thing you are sitting at post office. Only now you can no longer sit there, because they put sharp things. Praise the Lord. Anyway, that's enough for today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now I spoke that and I saw somebody who is like in maize. Who is trying to do maize what? Produce what? Maize. Maize especially. Maize. Come. Aren't you supposed to be going for your scholarship? You're doing what? Actually, what I want is not even that. I want the produce thing, not the planting. I'm talking about the. But you come. I'm talking about there's somebody who is horizon, and the past you had a setback. You tried it before and others. Have you tried it before? Sorry. There's somebody. Okay, it's okay. But there's somebody I know who like what tried it before. And was hammered, but kind of took a setback. Then you want to start again. I'm also seeing somebody who is into like ranching, is beef ranching and what and stuff like that. Actually, more like animal husbandry, but beef mostly, cows. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because you still work for NSSF?
Yes.
Okay. The blessing of the Lord is upon you.
Amen.
As you try to do that.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And your number of people?
We are two.
Two people? Okay. The other person, work with them?
No. Yeah. She's in another organization. She's with URSP.
It's a lady?
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm also seeing a man who will join you.
Amen.
Mm. Man who will join you. And capital intensive.
Yes.
Will bring capital, because you need that.
A lot.
I'm seeing a man who will join you and will actually bring the capital.
Amen.
Then I'm seeing other things about this man, but we'll talk about that later. Okay, also you. What's your name?
Kamara Andrew.
What happened to the whatever? To the.
I'm still applying for it.
Okay. Receive it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You should concentrate on that now. Although, of course, there is nothing wrong with what you're doing, but that's also very important. That scholarship thing. Amen. Let me stand. I feel an energy around this place right now that tells me that people are so ready to prosper. I can sense that people are stirred up in a certain way. I was feeling it in that corridor right now, that you're ready for something big. Now I can see you're ready for something big, for something that is not just about yourself. Now I just want you to agree with me. In the name of Jesus, Father, I speak an abundance upon these people. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for ideas that flash in the minds and create great sources of income. In the name of Jesus, and speedily, things which happen fast, in the name of Jesus. I want you to agree with me in Jesus' name, that you will see the fruit of it before the end of this year. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It will start before the end of this year and will grow and grow and grow. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, because I thank you for connections, for new connections. In Jesus' name, new connections in the name of Jesus. Now I'm seeing somebody who has an idea which you want to sell to somebody who is coming. Those, you know, the so-called diaspora people, I will not use the word they use. Now the favor of God is upon you, because you will sell them that idea and it will yield something big. Somebody from the diaspora who is coming at the end of this month. The Lord is saying your idea is big. Just get the idea and then he will and shape it in your heart, and then the Lord will connect you to the people who will bring it to pass. Now that's the instruction I'm giving you from the Lord right now. When you receive the idea from God, connect those people who will birth it in you and bring it to pass. Discouraged in the name of Jesus, those who have suffered setbacks in their business, in the name of Jesus, now I release you back into your season. I release you back into your season in the name of Jesus. Somebody has suffered a setback, it's a gentleman, I see a big setback, and you know, which has caused a lot of doubt. But now I release you back into your season in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Sarika Mazantin Vishokumuzon Toroshan, Rila Satan Vishokumuzon Toroshan, Mazatarosha, Rika Basoto Rosha, Mazatarosha, Sekira Prozon Toroshan, Mazatarosha, Mazatarosha. Just take a moment and conceive your idea of abundance. Just think about it. Start building that picture from here and carry it from here and take it home. Just quietly build what would be your picture, your perfect picture of what is abundance. When I'm like this, when I'm in this place, this is abundance for me. Conceive that picture right here. Conceive it. Don't just pray, draw a picture in your mind. I'm giving you time to get a picture in your heart. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, because we receive the desires of our hearts. Say amen. Say amen. Amen. We thank you because everyone here receives the desire of their heart. I thank you, Father, for these pictures that we have painted. You bring them to realization in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Remember last Friday I told you that on 20th December we'll have a special offering for 2020. Which I want you to go and package and come and give in faith. Now, give after you've meditated properly on abundance and your ground is wet and ready for sowing, then I'm in that place of faith. You come and sow your seed for 2020 and then believe God for a year unlike any other. So 20th December, we'll expect you to come and sow that seed. But I request that between now and then, you really, really, even beyond that, you really take time to make sure the water of the word prepares your ground to receive the seed and for it to flourish immediately and create a 30-fold, a 60-fold, and a 100-fold in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for each and every person who connects here today in Jesus' name. I thank you that that seed that they give here today is a connection, and they move with this word entrenched in their hearts, that they shall move and shall see the fruit thereof. In this word that you've given us, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you because the harvest does not stop. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Apple Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King, is coming.